Early in the last century, a great figure emerged in the cause of peace. His name was Gandhi, and you remember your history as Gandhi stepped forward to seek peace and to bring justice and to bring independence to the people of India as he led the cause of independence and separation from the British Empire. He was a Hindu. He was a man of love, a man of excellent character, a man that was admired over time by many in the world. He came to be known as Mahatma, which means great souled one. Near the end of his life, he was assassinated in 1948, but near the end of his life, many inquired as to his faith, for he was in the midst of trying to bring peace between Hindu and Muslim and Buddhist. And someone asked him, had he ever thought of becoming a Christian? This was his answer. He said, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Ouch. Today we continue to explore Jesus' experience in his spiritual body after Easter. He was on this earth for 40 days, seen by over 500 people in 12 separate interactions recorded in the scriptures. And in these times, Jesus gave his final marching orders to the emerging church. The leader of that emerging church was Peter. You remember, it wasn't very far from where today's passage took place that Peter was the first to say, you are the Christ. And Jesus' response was, you are right, and on you, Peter, I will build my church. You are the rock on whom I will build my church. So here we are, perhaps 30 or 40 days or 30 or 35 days into this 40-day period, near the end of Jesus' experience in his spiritual body. And we find Jesus with the disciples at the Sea of Galilee on the north shore near Capernaum, Jesus' adopted hometown. And here he has spent time with his disciples and others. They have been out fishing. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were recruited right from the shores there. And there they are back again at the end of this ministry. And as they are there, Jesus does something important, very important. Maybe you've ever been in a family gathering, Thanksgiving, Christmas, maybe a summer picnic, lots of people, and you say to someone, or someone says to you, come here, let's step away, I want to talk to you about something. That's what Jesus did, saying to Simon Peter, originally Simon, renamed Peter, the rock of the church, identified as people then were by their lineage, son of John. He pulls him aside and begins this very brief but powerful teaching and call to action to Peter. You heard Katie read it a moment ago. In these words, we have Jesus' marching orders to the church. It was about 6 or 7 weeks ago that we stood, going back, Sharon, if you would, going back to the Sea of Galilee, our pilgrimage mission team, there it is. This event perhaps took place right there. On the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, not far from Capernaum, I can imagine Jesus sitting right there with his disciples and then pulling Peter aside, maybe walking, maybe sitting for this conversation. And the conversation is about sheep and lambs. And so you see what we saw 6 or 7 weeks ago in Israel, a shepherd with some sheep. Then as now, a central part of the economy of that land, and then especially a life-giving source of hope for the future. Every sheep mattered. Every lamb mattered. And so here we have perhaps a descendant of one of those lambs. When I was in Israel 6-7 weeks ago, a little boy came up to me and said, well, he didn't say anything. I said, can I have that lamb? So I grabbed the lamb and there's my photo op with the lamb in Israel. I couldn't bring him home. So we got Larry to come here today. Now, Larry's a four-week-old lamb. I don't know how old. Let's go back to that picture, Sharon, of me in Israel. I don't know how old that little lamb was. Maybe just 2 weeks old. But when I asked Ginny Borman and her friends, Katie, to bring a lamb, I expected a little smaller. But this is a four-week-old little lamb. And Larry is still being trained. He's got a diaper on. So, trustees, you don't have to worry too much. But Jesus would have been thinking about sheep like Larry, lambs like Larry. Now, it's really possible that you're not going to hear anything else I say because you're going to be sick. So if this doesn't work and you go home saying to someone, what was at church? And all you can say is they had a lamb. So try to do two things at once with me here. And we'll see how long Larry lasts. And Ginny, whenever you think. Because originally I was going to have Larry on my lap until I saw this morning. And then I thought. But friends, he said, Peter, referring to sheep and lambs, he says, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Come on, Larry. I actually could feed Larry. There's a bottle over there. No, that's all right. I'll let you do that. What did Jesus mean when he said, do you love me, Peter? Peter says, yes. Then Peter hears Jesus say, feed my lambs. Lambs are the babies. Lambs are the helpless ones. Lambs are the ones who need care. For us, lambs are the children. Yeah. So why don't we invite you to look over here now? Because if Jesus says, feed my lambs, and lambs are the children, lambs are the babies, lambs are the vulnerable, lambs are the ones who need protecting, they are our children. And how is it in a world and a country and a state of such wealth, we have so many children who are hungry? 14 million children go to bed every night in America hungry. In New Jersey, 15% of children live under the poverty line. In New Jersey, in this community, in our Lord's pantry, last month we gave out food for 993 people, and 273 of them were children. You're feeding children because they can't feed themselves. And that's not right. When we throw away enough food from our refrigerators to feed half of those people. Maybe when Jesus says, feed my lambs, he's saying, take care of the vulnerable ones. Take care of the little ones. Sacrifice and give them a chance. In our middle school, right down the street, 17% of the children in the middle school are eligible for free or reduced meals. That means 17% are below the poverty line for this community and state. And they need that food. With an animal before us, let me dare say what will offend some of you, but we feed our dogs and our cats better than we feed our children in some cases. And that's truth. And that needs to be considered. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Maybe he meant, love the least of these. Do you love me? Then feed my lambs, love the least, the little ones, the children, the vulnerable ones. He says again, do you love me? And then Peter says, you know I love you. And Jesus a second time repeats in a new way. He says, take care of my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Now, with no offense to this particular sheep, sheep are dumb. They are. When sheep are in a herd, when they're out under the care of a shepherd, and shepherd has to watch because sheep just nibble themselves into trouble all the time. And they get lost. Head down, all they want is the next tuft of grass, and all they see is what's before them. And the next thing you know, sheep are all over the place if the shepherd isn't watching. And that's why Jesus used that wonderful story that if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one is lost, well, guess what? They got lost all the time. The shepherd would go after him. Because sheep just take care of themselves. And they get lost in their self-centeredness. We know a lot of people who get lost in this world. My heart breaks as yours does, and some of yours really breaks over this opioid crisis. People in this church, in this community, perhaps in your circle of family or friends, have died or are greatly, greatly dying because of opioids. And I am all supportive of any effort we can make to save lives and to restore souls who are on that journey. But I wonder what the church, what you, what Christians can do more to keep young people especially from getting on the road to being lost. Because long before that first opioid is taken, there is a lostness. There is a disconnect from family or friends or from church. And there's someone wandering out there hoping somebody will see them and notice and reach out and care for them. And when nobody does, then so often the pain is taken care of with the drugs. Maybe Jesus meant, take care of my sheep by loving the lost like sheep get lost. Yesterday I delivered a eulogy in North Carolina for my dear, dear friend and mentor. And on Friday, I spent 5 hours in a food court in a big mall writing that eulogy. It was an easy place to go, constant coffee, nobody's going to bother me. So there I sat with lots of people doing other things. They didn't bother me at all. I had my task. Nobody knew me. And then there was Stephen. Now I stood out. Most people are not sitting at these tables with papers and books all over, concentrating. So he picked on me, I guess, and tapped me on the back as he walked behind me, sat next to me, said, "Hey, what are you doing?" Introduced myself to him. "He's Stephen. I'm Frank. And so what are you doing?" Looking at my papers, I tell him, "I'm a pastor. I'm here to write a eulogy to conduct a service tomorrow." And as soon as he heard the word pastor, I was done. Now, I've been here countless times, so don't get me wrong, and it's okay. "Got two questions for you, pastor." Well, it turns out Stephen was pretty angry at a pastor 3 years ago who, for whatever reason, didn't conduct the funeral service for his beloved mother in her church. "Is it okay to be angry?" "Well, okay, yeah." I gave him some counsel, some support. And then he asked me about a pastor who preached a sermon on alcohol and was then seen by Stephen at the liquor store in the afternoon. "So, is that right?" So we talked, we listened. Then Stephen said, "Can I have $2? Should have seen that one coming. At the same time he asked, he pulled up his loose-fitting pants and revealed an artificial leg. And I should have put all this together, his holy t-shirt, his bag that he was carrying, his flip-flops. And he said, "You know, I need a couple of bucks because that way I can take the bus and I don't have to walk. It's really hard to walk on this leg." And I gave him a couple of bucks. But I pray that I gave him more than $2 for a bus ride. I pray that perhaps I gave him some love and attention and listening that he needed because he's lost somehow. And I pray that he heard me say, stay close to God, keep praying, keep trusting God. I don't know if anybody else has said that to him recently, but I pray that this man who's a little lost, I don't know how he got to where he is or where he's going, but in that moment, it was okay to take a little time to listen. Maybe there's people around you who are a little lost in your family, in your neighborhood, at work, and maybe you need to take care of the sheep that are all around you. Finally, Jesus says to Peter, do you love me by now? Peter is really aggravated. You know I love you. You know all things. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Well, perhaps here he's thinking about how the sheep get really unlovable. You see, sheep in their wandering often will chew into thorns and briars, and by the time the day is over and they return to the pen at night and the shepherd has to take care of them, their mouths are cut and bleeding. Often they find their way into thickets with all kinds of things getting into their wool, and the shepherd has to take time to clean them up. They're not very lovable in those moments. Maybe Jesus is saying, love the unlovable who are around you. And they are. They are. And we prefer to look the other way and keep walking. But they are. In the eulogy that I referenced before, I told a story of my dear mentor who wrote and told me this story many years ago about his life as a pastor. And one day, in the congregation where he served in the 50s and 60s, he took the issue of racism and race relations to the pulpit and began speaking long before it was fashionable. One man in the church became very angry at that and began sending letters to people in the congregation telling them to stop supporting the church, stop paying your tithe until this guy's gone. Well, there was this great breach that couldn't be solved between my dear friend and this parishioner. But as things go, it ran its course. My friend remained for two or three more years until he went on to another church. But the breach between them was never settled. And then, my friend tells me, Clark said, a couple of years later, I got a request that I come back to that church to perform the wedding ceremony for his daughter, who apparently had so admired the pastor. And Clark said, and so I went and conducted that ceremony for her and was in their presence. And a bit sadly, he said, but he never apologized. But that's what love does, doesn't it? It loves people when they're unlovable. And that's what feeding the sheep might mean for you. I received a fascinating story from a parishioner. They sent a text. Text was from someone they knew, and it came through, or I guess it was an email. And it told the story of this person who I don't know. I don't even know if our parishioner knows. This is what they wrote. They said, I'm leaving the store, and I notice a paper beneath my windshield wipers. Piece of paper on the windshield wipers, this person reports. And I can see that there's a cross on this piece of paper. And I think to myself, why do these religious people keep pestering everybody? They took the paper, threw it on the seat, drove home. At home, they report, I discover that someone had seen my inspection sticker was expired, and the piece of paper was an offering envelope. And on the offering envelope, it said, for your vehicle registration. God bless you. $60 in cash in that envelope. The person writes, I'm not a crier, but wow, that hit me hard. Thank you to my benefactor for the money, but especially for the lesson. Now, it just happens to be a Methodist envelope. I gotta say. But you know, whatever. That's what Christians do. To feed the sheep. To love the unlovable. To love the stranger. John put it this way when he wrote in his letter. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Listen to that. If you see someone in need and you have no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, he concludes, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Tend my sheep. Feed my lambs. The final marching orders of Jesus to the one who would lead the church, and that is you, is words alone do not cut it. But words put into action, built on the teachings of Christ, caring for the lost, the least, the vulnerable, the little ones, all. That is our call. And that is what Larry wants you to hear today.